Music Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Friday. That's right, you made it to the end of the week. Go ahead and pat yourself on the back. It is Friday. It is the weekend. And soon, if you're not at work, you're already enjoying it. But if you are at work, soon you will enjoy your time off. Now, of course, it's going to be cold. So Brian, the producer, wear a coat this weekend. Okay, don't make me call your wife. All right, we're going to have fun today. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. But I want to start, and this is not on the show plan because this is breaking news. I want to start with giving you the news that Delegate Carl Jackson, and we talked about this, has thrown his hat in the ring for District 8's Senate seat that was just vacated by Kathy Klausmeier because she is now the Baltimore County Executive. So, we are not shocked. We had already assumed that he was going to get in the race. Now, this doesn't mean that he's the only one in the race, okay? But he is in the race. He has announced. He has his logo out on Instagram. He has it in his story. But I also have, yes, come closer. I also have his very first big endorsement. So he's already been working behind the scenes. And I'm sure, look, just so you guys know, whenever you're deciding whether or not you're going to run, the first thing you do is you go out to see whose endorsements you can get, what kind of donations you think you can get, and you go from there. So this is a big endorsement. The Fraternal Order of Police has officially endorsed Delegate Carl Jackson for the state Senate seat. That's huge. That's big news. That's big news. We're going to see what happens with all of this because, you know, so many people have been calling in. I got some of your emails and so many people thought, okay, this seat's definitely going to go to Delegate Carl Jackson. I did speak to him. Obviously, he's not one to say, oh, yeah, I got the seat. He's a bit more humble than most. So he's saying, yes, I threw my hat in the ring. I am excited. Here's my first big endorsement. We got the exclusive on that. And we'll see who else gets in this race. Now, this means that there's going to be some musical chairs, okay, if he is to win when it comes to this Senate seat. Because, of course, he is Delegate Carl Jackson. So then we'll have to see who ends up in his seat if he were to win and go into the state Senate seat. So there's a lot going on. Now, I know I've talked to my friend Marty. Remember when you called in there, Marty, and he talked about, he said, look, I wish they would have just made this announcement before the session began. And he's right about that. I still don't believe that there was anybody else that was considered for the Baltimore County executive seat. I don't believe that at all. I think people on county council had already decided that it was Kathy Klausmeier's time and that it was her seat. And so we talked about wasting time and, you know, wasting the time of the community for them to show up at some of those county council meetings, you know, talking about what they look for in a Baltimore County executive. For me, it was more of like a, you know, it was all for a show in my view. I mean, they could deny it. Maybe they'll say, look, we really were trying to narrow it down between all five candidates. But I just didn't see it that way. As I mentioned before, Kathy Klausmeier, she has friends on both sides of the aisle. Now, interesting enough, so does Delegate Carl Jackson, and we talked about this, too. He has friends, they're friendly. I'm not going to say they're friends. I haven't talked to him about it. But they're very friendly, and they show this friendly relationship on social media, and that's including our guests from yesterday, Delegate Kathy Shalega and Delegate Ryan DeRocky. So he does have friends on the Republican side of the aisle. And that's why I said before that, you know, with Kathy Klausmeier moving up, I did believe that Carl Jackson would be stepping into that Senate seat. So we'll continue to wait and see. I have invited him on the show. I don't know when he's going to start his media blitz, but Delegate Carl Jackson, if you're listening, whenever you're ready, you're more than welcome to come here in studio. I promise I am nice. I am not what they say on the streets. I'm very nice, and I think I told you guys one of my New Year's resolutions is to make sure that I am, you know, very polite. I'm going to ask tough questions, but very polite in 2025. I want to speak to the other side of the aisle. I don't want us to live in like this echo chamber. And I think with President Trump winning the seat and Republicans in the majority in the House and the Senate on Capitol Hill, I do believe that we can get there. And I'm not saying that we're going to be totally unified as a country. That's not what I'm saying. But I think we could have more productive conversations. I don't think it has to be so polarizing. And I think when you're looking at the fact that Trump won the popular vote, he won all seven swing states. That would have never happened if he didn't have votes from Democrats and independents. Republican only, that couldn't happen. And we've discussed this too. You know, across the country, say you're running for office, you know, the Oval Office as a Republican, you have to get crossover votes. We are just in the minority in general. And so if you're not that candidate, if you're not Trump, right, to be able to get those crossover votes, it does not work. And I want people to understand that, because sometimes I'll see a lot of pushback, especially on social media. And, you know, there are some Republicans who are like, well, why would you give a Democrat a platform? Or why would you even waste your time talking to this individual? You're not winning these races with just Republican votes. And we also, I mean, we also have a problem with voter turnout in the Republican Party. Hopefully we can get that straightened up. I'm hoping we could do that before elections there in 2026, because like I said before, this gubernatorial race is going to be huge. I know that there's a lot of people that like Governor Westmore on the Democrat side of the aisle, but from what I could tell, when it comes to, of course, Republicans and even independents, there are a lot of people that are like, take it or leave it. And as you see taxes rising, you see some more of these fees, we'll see what they do with this 90-day session. But I believe if he wants to truly get his agenda accomplished, he's going to have to raise taxes. And I think he's going to end up not being so many people's favorite. And also, let's just be honest, there are many Democrats that also do not want to pay more taxes. Yes, you've got those that vote blue no matter who, but you still have some of those blue dog Democrats that we talk about, including my mom, that will consider voting on the other side of the aisle because of whether it's raising taxes, whether it's raising fees, or whether it's decisions that they make in regard to public education. There are some of those individuals that say, you know what? My vote goes elsewhere. So we will wait and see. But yes, this is the first name in this, I guess you could say, this arena when it comes to Senate seat in District 8, excuse me. And I would assume that we will have some Republicans step up. I'm hoping that we will have some Republicans step up and say, you know what, let me give this a try. But right now it's Delegate Carl Jackson. He's the only name I see thus far looking to fill that vacant seat left behind by Kathy Klausmeier. So we'll keep our eyes open. All right, we still have a lot to talk about. Of course, we have some local issues to discuss. We also, you know what, did you hear about the Leo Terrell for Fox News? You hear about his big announcement yesterday? Well, he had a big announcement. We'll talk about that. Also, Senator John Fetterman, apparently it's very controversial that he's headed to Mar-a-Lago. I don't think it is controversial, but I want to share with you what some people are saying. You know, one thing about Senator John Fetterman, we were all very concerned, I think, when he was running for the Senate seat. And there were people like myself that, I wasn't too thrilled about Dr. Oz. I was never thrilled about Dr. Oz. I thought, honestly, that race, it should have gone to, you know, when it comes to the Republican primary, either Dave McCormick, who's now luckily in Bob Casey's old seat in the Senate, but also Kathy Barnett. And I wasn't quite understanding why Trump's endorsement went towards Dr. Oz. I don't know if they were longtime friends, but he never struck me as a very conservative guy. And I'm not saying that he's not a Republican, but, you know, I'm one of those people where every once in a while I would catch the Oprah show and I would catch Dr. Oz on the show. He then went on to have his own show. And from what I can tell, you know, he might have been a little fiscally conservative, but he was definitely socially liberal. And I say that, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but what we're facing in society today, I don't really think I want to elect a Republican that is so socially liberal, right? And, you know, I mentioned before, I'm fine. I don't care about people's sexuality. If you're gay, go great. Go be gay and happy. I don't really care. But this whole thing with like gender affirming care, asking taxpayers to fund it, or even, you know, transitioning of children, the drag queen story time at, you know, the libraries, these are all very socially liberal ideas. And I don't appreciate them at all. And so if you're socially liberal, I guess I'm one to think that you might vote for such a thing. I'm one to think that you might vote in favor of, you know, trans people, trans guys being in women's sports. So that's why I'm kind of hesitant about voting for anybody that's completely socially liberal, because we've gone off the deep end in this country when it comes to being socially liberal. So anyways, I wasn't a fan of Dr. Oz. And at that time, we were noticing that Senator John Fetterman had a very hard time, whether he was putting sentences together or whether, you know, just some of the ideas that he had, many of them contradicted some of the things that he said in the past. And I was a little worried about it. But now that it seems that he is getting through, you know, his stroke and the symptoms, you know, the aftermath of it, it seems to me that he's had this this epiphany, right? There's like this level of clarity there that I didn't see before. And he's speaking a lot more common sense than many other Democrats on Capitol Hill currently. And so I could see where he would, yes, go to Mar-a-Lago and ask Trump what he plans to do this year. And why not? Why not? And so John Fetterman, he did put out a statement, by the way, addressing this. And we'll get into that for sure. I also want to talk about these self-driving cars. I hope you guys stick around for that because I got some questions on that. Personally, for me, I don't like the self-driving cars, but maybe you feel a different way about it. You know, we're going to take the conversation a little bit further because not only do you have where, you know, it's being controlled by someone that's not in the car, right? It's all, you know, technology. I do wonder how far this will get. And I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but there were, you know, conversations about Tesla, I would say maybe 4 years ago on Twitter, right? Now it's X, but it was Twitter. And Elon Musk was answering questions. And somebody asked Elon Musk if there was a way to completely turn or shut off all Teslas across the country. And like if there was like a button he could hit and just shut them all down. And he said yes. That's scary, isn't it? And for me, it's a little scary. He said yes, there is a button that he can press that would stop all Teslas in its tracks. There is something like that. So again, we're going to get into that conversation because this is moving in a direction where, in my view, it gets a little hairy, but maybe you don't feel the same way about it. And of course, we will talk about the LA fires. There's more coming out. I do have some audio to play for you guys when it comes to some of the celebrities that lost their homes. Karen Bass, she did have a press conference yesterday. So we'll get into all of those things. And then, of course, the Supreme Court denying Trump's request to delay his trial. So again, we've got a lot to talk about today. Good morning. Happy Friday. Can you believe it's January 10th? In 9 days, I will be 1 year older. In 9 days. I don't know if there's anybody else out there listening that has a winter birthday like myself. But boy, oh boy, when Olivia was born in July, I was so excited for her. Because I'm like, oh good, she can have real birthday parties, you know? Like when your birthday's this time of year and you're like, you know, on the Northeast Coast. Yeah, I mean, you don't even plan for it. My mom, she once planned a birthday party for me. We had a huge snowstorm. And she was like, never again. Never again. And she lost a deposit and everything. Anyway, so yes, having birthdays around this time of year is not fun. But this birthday, I'm excited because I will be hosting the Legacy Ball in Washington, D.C. for the Black Conservative Federation. It is part of the inauguration festivities. And I'll be hosting that with Fox News' Gianna Caldwell. There's going to be Congressman Byron Donald, Senator Tim Scott, Burgess Owens, Waka Flocka, if you know who that is. Waka Flocka, he's a rapper who absolutely loves Donald Trump. He'll be there performing. And then you have, of course, I think J.D. Vance and Trump were supposed to stop by. But then also you've got A.B., do you guys? So I didn't know who AB was. Brian, I guess you know who he is. Antonio Brown, football player. Brian, yes, of course Brian knows. He knows all about sports. He played for the Steelers? Oh, okay. Well, he will be there as well. And he's been posting about it. Apparently, he's excited about it. There's so many people, so many celebrities that came around to President Trump's side of the aisle, I guess you could say. Because, you know, some people are wondering, are those that are pro-Trump, does that really mean that they're a Republican or a conservative? I would say no. I think that there are some people that are most likely independents who, you know, like AB, like Waka Flocka, who like Trump. But I don't think they necessarily love other Republicans as much as they love Trump. They like the common sense attitude. They like the fact that he has a business mindset. They want America to be run like a business. Now, if there are other Republicans that come up and they're just like President Trump, I bet they'll support him. But I can guarantee you, you know, even the next round that we'll have in 2028, you know, unless it's somebody that is very similar to President Trump or was there for his agenda, like J.D. Vance and such, I guarantee you they're not going to get as many votes, especially minority votes, as President Trump. His charisma, just everything about him, it's just so different. It's so different. And I think this is why there's so many anti-Trumpers, even in the Republican Party. I don't think that they realized, many of them, and I'm not going to say all of them, I don't think they realized the fact that he is so charismatic, the fact that he is larger than life. You know, he's this billionaire. He's this guy that so many people love. He's mainstream. He had a reality TV show. Like most in the Republican Party, those very conservatives, like the Bible Belt conservatives, I don't think they really subscribe to that. You know, like right now, he's going to be going into court. I think he can do it virtually today for the sentencing of the Hush Money case. You know, there are many conservatives says, oh my gosh, this is why I'll never vote for him. Why would he even be caught up with somebody named Stormy Daniels, right? Like, he's just different. And, you know, that's why, you know, some of this, I look at it, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I kind of look at the future of the Republican Party, and I think, wow, are we going to be able to maintain, are we going to be able to hold on to some of these gains that we're making within minority groups? I don't know. That's why President Trump is so important. And I got very upset with people like, you know, Michael Steele and others that were so mad about President Trump. I know for them, a lot of it is lobbying and money. I get that, you know. But at the same time, he saved the GOP, in my view. He saved us. We're, like I said before, Republicans across this country, we are the minority. We just are. When it comes to the seven swing states, name one other Republican that could win all seven swing states right now here in 2025. There isn't one. There is not one. Unless I'm wrong, and you can always call me and correct me, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in about that. But I don't think we have one. And so, yeah, I'm a little nervous. Of course I'm nervous. I'm nervous as we go into 2028. And, you know, and we'll see what happens this time around. Of course, you know, this cycle that's coming up in 2026, you know, when you're a member of Congress, you got to do it every 2 years. You know, will we see more America First candidates step up? Yes, I do hear that Catalina Lauf, my friend, she was in Illinois. She now lives in Florida. From my understanding, she is going to step up and run for office again in Florida. The district that she moved to, she can win in that district. I told you guys before about Madison Cawthorn. He moved from North Carolina. He's now in Florida. He was in Congress previously, but I think he's going to run again in 2026. So we're going to see a lot of people step up. Do I hope that Neil Parent runs again in 2026? Absolutely. Absolutely. The midterm election, as close as that race was with April Delaney, he could win that seat. There's less voter turnout from the Democrat side of the aisle. So there are ways that we can pick things up, but I do hope that we're able to maintain these minority votes that we were able to secure this time around, thanks to Trump. All right, coming up next, Los Angeles fires. So much information coming out. We'll discuss. All right, good morning. Happy Friday to you. Looks like I got a text here from Greg in Parkville. He said, I won't be able to call you later when you discuss the issue, so I wanted to weigh in now. The Tesla off switch, you know, I was talking about how Elon Musk said there was an off switch. He said, it doesn't really bother me because it already exists through OnStar. OnStar can shut down any or all vehicles that have it. They already do this for the police when your car is stolen. Greg, and I agree with you because I am OnStar in my Buick Enclave. But there are many cars that don't have OnStar. And I guess what he's saying is that with Tesla, all of them have the off switch. And I would imagine that every single EV will have the off switch. Yeah, we are going to talk about that because maybe I'm just paranoid. You know, but I don't like this situation. I'm going to get into some of the details, too, because there are different reasons why some people may not be able to drive, you know, whether it's going through the court of law. I do believe even when And I'm going to look this up before we get to the topic. But even when it comes to men and women missing child support payments, when they start garnishing and, you know, their paychecks, there's other things that happen with all that. Anyways, we're going to talk about that. We are. Because I guess in my mind, I don't really want the government to decide when I cannot drive my car in any situation. But we'll get to that. I wanted to start the show off talking about the fires in Los Angeles because this is still the number one story, obviously. I did see a post from Halle Berry, you know, the actress Halle Berry. I saw a post where she was helping out at a store, and basically they set up really quickly this thrifting idea where people were dropping off clothes so that those that were affected by the fires, they were coming in and they were grabbing some of the clothes. She made a post saying, hey, we need more clothes for children, especially boys, ages such and such. So she has been on top of it. So Halle Berry, shout out to you. Beautiful inside and out. You know, that is amazing how so many people have jumped into action. I do have some audio here because there was one young lady that was breaking down some of the celebrities that have already lost their homes. In case you're interested in stuff like this and, you know, you want to know how much of an impact this will have on those in Hollywood, take a listen.
They posted several videos of them having to evacuate and then shared that their home is now ash. Spencer also updated and posted that his parents even lost their home. It's also been announced that Anna Faris unfortunately lost her home, as did Adam Brody and his wife Leighton Meester. Both of their homes have, again, been reduced to rubble. This was a shot of Adam and Leighton's home as it was under fire. And this is the end result of Anna Faris and Spencer and Heidi's homes. All My Children star Cameron Matheson also announced that he lost his home as well, and they have lived in this home since 2012. We know Paris Hilton lost her Malibu beach house. Fergie uploaded a photo of her house in flames. Ricky Lake uploaded several pictures of her dream home, which she also lost today. James Wood posted a picture of his house with the deck just catching fire. Jamie Lee Curtis shared a photo and said, "My community and possibly my home is currently on fire, but my family and friends are safe." Jennifer Love Hewitt shared a photo of them evacuating and said, basically everything they love, their whole neighborhood is gone. Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing has lost her home. Kate Beckinsale basically said the same thing. The whole neighborhood is gone. She said, the shock at the whole of the Palisades being destroyed is unthinkably horrific. My daughter and I lived there for most of her childhood, and most of her childhood is now gone. Her primary school, every shop or restaurant we used to go to with my parents and Michael's parents, and devastatingly, most of her friends' homes. My heart is broken. As for those that have evacuated, we know several have had to leave their homes. No word yet if their homes are still standing. We know Ben Affleck evacuated and he went to his ex's, Jennifer Garner, who lives close to him but yet has not had to evacuate at this moment. Mandy Moore had also shared an upload of her evacuating her home, and she said, my children's school is gone. Our favorite restaurants are leveled. So many friends and families have lost everything. Our community is broken, but we will be here to rebuild together. Sending love to all affected and on the front lines trying to get this under control. We know Eugene Levy had to evacuate, and he said he was basically stuck when he left his home because of all the thick black smoke. Mark Hamill as well announced his evacuation from his home. Travis Barker's children, Landon and Alabama, both uploaded on their social medias that they've been evacuated from both of their homes. Maria Shriver also posted saying, heartbreaking, devastating, beyond belief. Everything is gone. Our neighborhood, our restaurants, everything. Unfortunately, most of the fires that are raging right now are not under control.
All right. And that young lady, she's on TikTok. I don't really know much about her, but she was breaking it down there. And, you know, I guess I knew about half of the names. Some people were commenting. I noticed, oh, they're rich. I don't really care. This is just their second home, you know, da da da. You know, there's a lot of people in this area where this is not their second home. And for a lot of people, you know, their dream home that they finally purchased in this area, that's it. This is all of it. And as you heard there, even Mandy Moore, the singer slash actress, she noted that the schools were also leveled. The restaurants, everything's gone. Everything's gone. It's very shocking. If you haven't seen the latest pictures or videos, I suggest you take a look.
I noticed that the death toll is still at 5. I do not see where more bodies have been found. But also remember, this fire still isn't yet contained, and they still have to go in and check for more people. I can only imagine that there are going to be a lot more people that did not evacuate, thinking that it wasn't that big of an issue, that they will find in some of the rubble. Because I did notice there were some people that were discussing the fact that the fire, the way that it was coming in, to their neighborhood. Luckily they got out early enough, but there was one woman that uploaded a video and said, look, my house is down the street. She pointed down the street. But the smoke and the fires, they were coming into her neighborhood, in which the way she had to leave. And so it was very difficult, she said, as she was trying to get out of the neighborhood, because there was only one way in. It's a gated neighborhood. She was trying to get out of the neighborhood, and she said she literally could not see. She was just hoping that she didn't hit somebody else going down the street, because the only way out was literally through the smoke and the fire. So I do believe that the death toll will rise here. I'm so perplexed on how it got to this point to where they couldn't contain it at all. Like, you know, we discussed this. Obviously, you know, you had the brush fire. You had all these environmentalists and the climate change activists. They're the ones that were guiding some of the leaders like Gavin Newsom, Mayor Karen Bass, telling them, oh, the fish are more important. Don't worry about all these other things that you know are considered basic government functions. And now look what you have. Look what you have. We are going to get into some audio here from Karen Bass, the mayor. But first, I want to go to the phone lines. And if you want to weigh in on this, you can. 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. I've got Donna in Severna Park. Donna, you wanted to weigh in?
Hi. Good morning, Kim. I just wanted to make sure that it's still in the forefront that the people in Lahaina, Hawaii, have yet to be and able to rebuild. They are devastated. I live there. I honeymoon there. I just want to make sure that, you know, while the people in California are going to get 100% of stuff, they are not getting anything anymore in Hawaii. And, you know, I'm just disappointed in the response from this administration to those people in need. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. And
yeah,
people are already saying, let me buy your property and for development. It's just awful.
Oh, my gosh. And there was a lot of people, Donna, that were assuming that was going to happen. You know, and you're right, because once the news story moves on, it is hard to keep up what's going on. You know, currently in Hawaii, are they saying that, you know, are is insurance companies, are they covering some of this? Is there any rebuild going on? Is it hard to get materials? Do you know any of those items?
The initial response was, we're going to make this a green city. And how do you compete with that? And these are just simple people with, you know, bungalows that have been in their family for years. I still have friends that live on Oahu, and they're living in their parents' homes because it's too expensive to do anything else.
Oh, gosh.
And they're, you know, that's it. I mean, they're right on the water. They ran for their lives. They did the same thing. They jumped in the water to try to save themselves. Hundreds of people died, and it still continues today.
Yeah, well, hopefully this will be on the priority list for President Trump and his administration. But I appreciate you calling in and reminding us of that tragedy as well. Donna, thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. And you know what? That's a good point there. And even though it's not, it's, you know, it actually left the news cycle pretty quickly, if you think about it, the devastation in Hawaii. And I remember that Oprah Winfrey, she was talking about her house there, and she had set up like this fund, almost like a, you know, like a GoFundMe type deal. And there were some people saying that they didn't realize or they didn't know how to get in contact with the organization that was holding the fund. So there was a lot of confusion. Gosh, and you know what? This administration, Biden and Harris, they kind of reacted to it the same way they reacted to Hurricane Helene in North Carolina. It was kind of like, yeah, I know this is happening, but guess what? We're going to focus on politics and, you know, the upcoming race, because that's what it felt like. It felt like the race was more important, because how long did it take for Kamala and Joe Biden to even respond to what was going on in North Carolina? It took some time. And it is. It's a shame. Yet when Ukraine calls, they send money immediately to the tune of billions of dollars, you know. Now here, you know, in the United States, you call, they might send you to customer service, you know, on a hotline that goes to India. You know, you know what I mean? Like, you can't get a hold of anybody. It's wild. Donna, again, thank you so much for calling in and reminding us of that. I do have some audio here for you when it comes to Mayor Karen Bass, because I think that's where a lot of people are now, you know, pointing the finger towards her direction. Obviously, Governor Gavin Newsom is to blame in this. But Mayor Karen Bass, who clearly doesn't seem like she was ready for this job at all. And I thought that was interesting in general, because wasn't she a member of Congress at one point in time? I think she was. I got to go and look. Let me go and look. While I look for that and look at some of her history here, because this is not her first time as an elected official. While I look for that, go ahead and take a listen to the press conference she hosted just yesterday.
Mayor, L.A. County is in a panic state. It began 2 days ago with the Palisades fire. My crew and I arrived shortly after it started. And for several hours, we watched as hundreds of homes in a neighborhood burned to the ground. We did not see a single fire engine. We watched as Good Samaritans guided traffic. There was fear and there was a lot of confusion. You were out of the country at the time. Shortly after the fire started, a press release was put out warning of this fire behavior. My question to you is, what explains this lack of preparation and rapid response?
Let me just say, first and foremost, my number one focus, and I think the focus of all of us here with one voice, is that we have to protect lives, we have to save lives, and we have to save homes. Rest assured that when
that did not happen.
Rest assured, let me finish. Rest assured, when that is done, when we are safe, when lives have been saved and homes have been saved, we will absolutely do an evaluation to look at what worked, what didn't work, and to correct or to hold accountable any body, department, individual, et cetera. But my focus right now is on the lives and on the homes.
Do you think your leadership was effective while responding to this disaster?
I just said what I believe is the most important thing for us to do right now, and that is going to continue to be my focus. Thank you.
What a load of crap. Oh, my gosh. The condescending attitude and tone with it, it really just drives you nuts, doesn't it? So that was Mayor Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. Of course, she doesn't want to, you know, just take any accountability or responsibility for what happened. But if you heard there, that reporter says, you know, they were on scene for hours. And you know what? This is the same thing we were talking about in New Orleans with the terrorist attack. Remember, the press showed up in Texas at the terrorist mobile home, and they were on the scene before SWAT arrived. So here in Los Angeles, reporters were on the scene of this fire before fire trucks and, of course, before the mayor, because she was out of town in Ghana taking in the festivities around surrounding their inauguration. Why, I still don't know. And on taxpayer dollars, no doubt. But they, as he noted there, they were there before, you know, first responders. Why was that? What is going on? Well, anyways, just so you know, there were a lot of DEI hires. The fire chief in Los Angeles, she is the first queer fire chief. It kills me because you guys know I have no issues with anybody that is queer or lesbian or gay. I don't care. Go be happy. I don't really care. But why are we noting this on our resumes? Right? It's like, dude, what? I don't even want to know. It's TMI. Whatever happened to TMI and, like, shame and stuff? I don't know. There's no shame anymore. Well, anyways, that was Karen Bass's response to that. And it reminded me of Mayor Brandon Scott and the response he had when we lost the three firefighters on South Stricker Street in that vacant home. And he said then to the residents that were coming to him right there on the scene, he said, hey, now is not a time to talk about the homes being vacant and not being marked as homes that they should not run into. We'll do that later. That's what Mayor Scott said. Now, do you think he came back to the neighborhood and talked to anybody? No, absolutely not. What he did is he then started marking the homes, but he didn't personally address it. And he didn't address those constituents that wanted to talk to him about it. It's the same thing that she did. Real quick, I just want to tell you, she has lots of experience in office. I thought she was just a representative in Congress. She's more than that. She was a California state representative from 2004 to 2010. She was a majority floor leader of the California state in 2006 to 2008. She was Speaker of the California State Assembly 2008 to 2010. And then she was a representative of California's 33rd District from 2011 to 2013 there in Capitol Hill. And then again, 2013 to 2022, she was the House representative for the 37th District of California. So she's got extensive back. She's a career politician. This is a response from a career politician. That's pathetic. Really is. We'll discuss more when we get back.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
President Trump reinforced the criticism of this. Fire is spreading rapidly for 3 days with zero containment. It took forever for them to call up the guard, for crying out loud. Nobody's ever seen such failed numbers before. Gross incompetence by Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass. And Biden's FEMA has no money, all wasted on the new green scam. L.A. is a total wipeout. I mean, it's now so nightmarish, fueled by these high winds, unmanaged brush, lack of basic, simple, common sense fire management, forestry management. It could be the most costly in history, but by the time this is all said and done.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, you said bye-bye to big government and you want limited government. You voted for that. Well, now it's time to trim the fat from big wireless. If you are still using the big carriers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I ask, why are you doing that? Because my cell phone company, Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, gives you the exact same service. They use the same cell towers. You get the same 5G network. You get better customer service. And they're based here in the U.S. And you pay half the price for the exact same thing. And that's right. There's simply no need to spend $85, $100 a month per person on your wireless bill. Not when you can get unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot for just $35 a month. And by the way, the average family of four saves about $1,000 a year with Pure Talk. Make the switch. You simply dial #250, say the keyword, save now, do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now from our friends at Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Nothing can be more frustrating than working hard your entire life, saving as much as possible, then watching your money go down right before retirement. Mike Kinnett, Ryan Herbert, and the team at ProStatus Financial can help. They're going to sit down with you personally to create a complete retirement plan, which includes the 401k x-ray, income analyzer, tax planning analysis, and estate plan review. This is up to a $2,500 value, and it's complimentary for the next five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for retirement. Congratulations. You've done a great job of saving. Now, call 866-597-1040 and let the team at ProStatus Financial help you protect, grow, and distribute your wealth in the most tax-efficient manner possible. Call ProStatus Financial today at 866-597-1040. That's 866-597-1040. Advisory services offered through ProStatus Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor, insurance license in Maryland.
The Rob Carson Show.
Aren't you glad that America's back? Are you glad that you're going to be able to listen to the national anthem and watch those stealth fighters fly over the stadium and weep with pride? Aren't you glad? If you're not down with this, get the hell out of the way. And if you voted for Kamala Harris, and if you've been down with all of this nonsense in the last 4 years, go to your room, think about what you've done, and shut the hell up until Dad gets home on January the 20th.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM. Baltimore is listening.
All right, we're talking about the fires in Los Angeles. Gosh, they're continuing to spread. The incompetence is through the roof. And as we noted before the break, Karen Bass, the mayor there, she's had extensive history in public office. You know what I did notice, though? You know, when you're like a state representative or House rep, and I'm not belittling it at all, because obviously I wanted to be in the House. Okay, I'm not saying that. But it's very different than being an executive, right? You're part of the legislative body. That's not part of the executive House. And so for me, It's different. It is. It's really different. I think you could go from being the executive to, like, you know, in the House, like Johnny O did, and Dutch Ruppersberger did it too. Right? And like Governor Wes Moore, he could go from being the executive here and he could go to the Senate or the House. And, you know, it would make sense. When Governor Larry Hogan said he didn't want to go to the Senate, I think, you know, what he was trying to say or imply there is he's more of an executive. And then he ran for the Senate seat because obviously many people wanted to see if he could win that seat. But, you know, to go from like the House or as a state rep and you're part of the legislative body and then you get into this executive position, I mean, you really got to be ready for the job and you really got to focus on making a difference. Because if you're just, if you're approaching the mayor's office like you did as a legislator, it's not going to work. It's a lot more work than that. And it kind of shows that she didn't put the work in. The fire hydrants didn't have water. I mean, it's kind of like she's treating the mayor's office as if it's like, you know, just one of the House seats. And that could be possibly part of the reason why she's not ready to go at all. All right, coming up next, we're going to continue talking about this conversation. We did have one of the first victims. His identity is now known, Victor Shaw. And I have some audio for you in regards to Victor Shaw. And then also I have some audio when it comes to Mayor Karen Bass and how she was, you know, deciding to defund the fire department. Again, progressive ideas, awful ideas. Awful ideas. I wish we could say no to progressive politicians or ideology in general here in 2025. It never works. It never helps us. It leads to communism, socialism, you name it. They're all terrible ideas. They really are. They really are. Also, there was a debate that sparked because of all of what's going on. And Matt Walsh is at the center of it. Matt Walsh with the Daily Wire. But I think he asked a very good question here. And I want to ask you this question as well. So go ahead and jot down the number, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Do you think women can be firefighters? That's the question right now. We'll talk about when we get back.
Kim Klasick Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning to you. Gosh, you know what? We've been talking about the fires in Los Angeles. We talked about the fact that State Delegate Carl Jackson announced this morning that he is in the running for Kathy Klausmeier's seat. I guess, you know, when it comes to her seat, the state Senate seat, it's going to be, you know, appointed, right? It's going to be a Democrat. But wouldn't it be cool if there was, like, a Republican that just went ahead and filed as a Democrat and was like, I can take the seat? Oh, man. Wishful thinking. Well, anyways, Carl Jackson did announce that he is running for that seat. And he did send over that he has already received the endorsement of the FOP. That's a pretty big deal, especially when you're looking at District 8. We are dealing in District 8 with a lot of the crime and violence, the spillover from the Baltimore City area that they tried to deny. But we're dealing with it. All right, before the break, we were talking about the fires in Los Angeles. Of course, still the number one story. A lot of shocking pictures coming out of Los Angeles. Just in case you missed it, the looting has begun. Looters have decided to go into some of these celebrity homes, which is interesting because some of them, I mean, talk about burned to the ground. I guess at that point, what are you looking for? Are you looking for jewelry? You know what I mean? There are some homes where people were evacuated that have not caught fire just yet, and there are videos of looters basically busting open those doors, taking big screen TVs, all kinds of things. So that has already begun, in case you're wondering. Over 30,000 people have been displaced so far. There's a rich couple that purchased a block of rooms at a hotel. So apparently they purchased every room in a hotel. They made a post, which I thought was a little crazy. But they made a post saying, if anybody's displaced, you can come stay at this specific hotel, and we've already paid for the room. Do you know how many people are going to show up that weren't displaced at all? I just think it's so cute, right? Because, like, the elitists and, like, the, you know, the celebrities, those that have always lived in, like, these gated communities, it's almost as if they don't know about reality. And I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday. And it kind of lends to, remember when AOC said that there were people looting in Chicago because they were just hungry, right? They needed bread. Yeah, that's why they were stealing Jordans at a Foot Locker, because they were so hungry. But there are some people, I think, that believe that everybody is somewhat, you know, kind-hearted and, you know, could be on the honor system, I guess. Because, there's going to be people showing up at that hotel, because apparently it's a very nice hotel. They just want to go for a little getaway. That they were absolutely affected by the fires. And that's why it's so cute, because it's like, you know, some of these people, they're so disjointed from reality. And I think even when I was talking about the woman with the NAACP of Randallstown, when she told me she thought gang members were going to show up at the gun buyback event and turn over their guns, I looked at her, but she was serious. She was genuine. She thought gang members were going to show up and give them guns that were stolen, okay? Give the Baltimore County Police guns that they stole at one point in time. I just looked at her in shock. I was, wait, what? But they do. They genuinely believe these things. So, you know, shout out to that couple for doing so, but I hope they have security. Also, the calls for resignations have continued for Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom. And I did note that I wonder if this fire is going to end diversity hires altogether. Because the more and more we talk about the fire chief, you know, being hired because she was queer, and apparently the deputy chief, I guess she's also on the LGBTQ spectrum somehow. I don't know. But, you know, she also is one of those individuals that, you know, was, you know, talking about her sexuality along with her job. I just don't think it's something you have to discuss. I mean, I don't go around talking about how I'm a heterosexual, right? I'm like, yeah, I love men. I mean, you would never hear things like this from me. I would never talk about it. I've been separated now for 4 years. Has anybody ever seen me with a boyfriend or anything? No, because it's a private matter. Do I talk about a boyfriend or anything? No, it's a private matter. And why would you care? I don't even think you would care about such a thing. Well, anyways, I hope this fire puts an end to the diversity hires. I can't take it anymore. The big question now came out of Matt Walsh with the Daily Wire. Matt Walsh posted online yesterday that he believed that women are not physically qualified to be firefighters. And I want to get your take on this, to be honest. Because this is quite a question. I think we talked about it before in relation to police officers, but not firefighters. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. What are your thoughts on that? Apparently, one of the firefighters with the fire department in Los Angeles, apparently she was talking to a reporter and told her that she had a hard time trying to assist a gentleman out of one of the houses that had to be evacuated. She said she could not lift him at all, and she had to wait and actually go and get another firefighter to assist her. It's an interesting question, and it's an interesting debate. Are women physically capable of being firefighters? I want to get your take on that. Also, if you want to weigh in about the fires in general, I would love for you to do so. We got our friend in Moncton, Jet. Jet, how are you?
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for taking my call. I'm doing great.
Great.
Right before your break, you brought up this topic, is should women be in the fire department? So let me give you my background. I always do. 33 and a half years, retired Baltimore County Fire Department, retired as a captain. So, women in the fire service. Let me tell you, in 1978, August 19th, pardon me, I reported to the Baltimore County Fire Rescue Academy, and at that time, there was a class in with the first female firefighter ever hired by Baltimore County Fire Department. Her name was Danielle England Dancinger. She was without a doubt a tough, hardcore firefighter that got in, sweat, had the strength, worked her way up the ranks, never had any favoritism shown to her, became a leader in our department. She was one of the greatest leaders that we ever had, my opinion. But back to the scope of things. I have worked with men and women in the fire department through my years. And I can tell you right now, I have worked with women and men that were totally tough for the job, mentally and physically. And I have worked with women and men who you scratched your head and said, some people are just not cut out for the job. I don't care. That happens anywhere. Here's the situation. And we have it in Baltimore County right now. So people listen up. Standards have been lowered to meet quotas. This is not the kind of job where quotas have to be met or should be met. This is the kind of job where there is a test a physical test, a mental test that is not altered in any single way. It's across the line, even male, female. You come in, you take these tests physically, the mental agility test, you do all those things. If you pass them, you are then able to be hired as a firefighter. You should not lower a standard just so you could say we have this percentage of this type of person, this percentage of that type of person. As I said before, not everybody is cut out to be a firefighter. You have to have one standard for everybody across the board. And until these politicians figure it out, it's never going to change. But I will tell you now, my sisters in the fire department that I have worked with and who have worked with me, they are my sisters. And I have worked with some sisters that could kick butt. I don't care what the situation is. And when it comes to somebody being heavy and needing to call for help to remove that person, listen, this is the real world. It's not like you see in Hollywood in these movies where a firefighter runs in and grabs somebody. This work is physically and mentally exhausting. And when you're in a situation where you're trying to drag people out of a furniture-filled, hot environment, smoke-filled, can't see your hand in front of your face type of scenario, and you're burning and you need help, you call for help. And I have called for help before. So anybody that doesn't know the real story, the bottom line is you cannot lower standards to meet quotas. You have to hire the very best, the very toughest, because there's no second chances a lot of times in this job.
Yeah.
And brothers, so I'm going to leave it at that. I'm very passionate about this, but thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you for your service, Jet. Thank you for calling in. And as Jet mentioned there, if she can meet the requirements, then great. That's the big question right now, in case you missed it. Are women physically qualified to be firefighters? And it is going to end up being our question of the day. We'll see if we can get it up on the website. But you can call in for now, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I've got Chris and Perry Hall. Chris, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, hey, Kim. Thanks so much.
Yep.
You know, I think the thing that I was questioning, I finally found, read a little bit more about it, was why the mayor of L.A. was on a presidential, visit to Ghana. It's like, why is that the role of a mayor? Especially, it seems like this was something that known was a high-risk situation. But even if it wasn't a high-risk situation, that there could be a fire, where is the mayor's focus?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are asking. For her to even do it on taxpayer dollar, I mean, that is just a slap in the face, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought about. I mean, when we talk all about government waste and so forth, and you say, the role of a mayor is to be focused on the city, how does this even fit within that purview?
Right, right. Chris, great point. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too, thanks.
Thank you. And that's another thing, too, to get to Ghana and to get to some of these places, because even, remember Marilyn Mosby? She went to Kenya, that she was going to like a specific village and all this other stuff. A lot of times, yes, you have your commercial flight, but a lot of times you have to get there and take another small plane to where it is that you're going. I mean, the travel alone, I would assume, wasn't cheap. And again, she never even when reporters asking her, she never said why she absolutely had to be there. And apparently, according to some of these reports, she knew that there was high winds on the way, and that a brush fire could be a possibility. And she's still left out. She's still left out. Again, the question, are women physically qualified to be firefighters? Because there are some people now wondering, now that Matt Walsh brought it up on Twitter. I've got Jamie in Canesville. Jamie, what do you think about women in the fire department?
You know, it's not just physical capabilities for the qualification. Because these ladies, I mean, okay, they can't get up a ladder in 30 seconds. It's the mental capacity, and the whole system's broke because no one looks into contingencies and forewarn each other. Look at what happened to Katrina. So here's the crazy part. These woke people They're crying about global warming, right? Oh, global warming, everything's going to burn, everything's going to get hot. Well, if you believe that, why did you get everything ready for it? So they don't have the mental capacity to understand what's even their own BS.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess... Well, you probably heard our caller. It is sad. You probably heard our caller earlier talking about how the, you know, things have been lowered. I guess, you know, the qualifications to get more people on the department. It does put a lot of people at risk. Perhaps, you know what, Jamie? Perhaps we need to take a look again at what we're even asking of people as they're getting hired.
But it's just basic common sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure your daughter has enough common sense to don't play with matches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
None of these people in these positions have common sense.
Yeah.
Boys can go into girls' bathrooms. It's just, it broke.
Right. Yeah. The wokeness is a problem. Jamie, thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Thank you. Then we'll continue this conversation when we get back. The question is, and this is, again, it's a debate happening on Axe right now. Are women physically qualified to be firefighters? Should they be in the fire department? And I want to get your response to that. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. All right, good morning. The phone lines are blowing up. Brian, the producer, loves it. He wanted me to tell you that. No, we have a big question today. Are women physically qualified to be firefighters? That's also the question of the day. WCBM.com, Renovation Real Estate, is bringing you the question of the day. And I got text coming in as well, but let's go ahead and get to the phone lines here. And we're talking about this because of what's going on in Los Angeles. And Matt Walsh actually brought this topic up on Twitter. And he's saying, no, women are not physically qualified to be firefighters. And I'm the one who says, you know, it depends on the woman. Me, personally, I can't do it. I know I can't do it. I wouldn't even try to do it. But there are many women out there that I do believe are capable. But I want to hear from you on this because not everybody feels the same way. Alex in Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, Kim. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. You know, I think that the callers that you had till now, especially the firefighter that was in the fire department for 33 years, he's 1,000% correct. It comes down to whether you're physically capable of doing the job, mentally capable, and, you know, emotionally capable of dealing with a situation, because if not, then you shouldn't be in there. And there are obviously also men that aren't qualified that get in there. But the difference is that that happens by mistake, whereas as it appears right now, the issue is that they're taking in more women than are qualified because of the, you know, it's a virtue signal and for the purpose of being diverse. And that ends up hurting women, because if you don't take in someone that's qualified, they could, you know, end up getting affected in a situation where there's a fire and not being able to get out and do the job, and it slows down the taking care of taking out that fire because you have unqualified people there. So that's where the issue really comes down to. I don't think all women aren't qualified, but the problem is that they're taking in unqualified people.
Yeah,
and that's really what it comes down to, I think.
Alex, great point. And I think that's what it does come down to, because now they're talking about the fire chief there. She was brought in, it seems, mainly because she was, or she is, queer. The same thing with the deputy. So a lot of people are questioning that. And that's a great point. Thank you for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
You did, thanks.
Thank you. Let's see. I've got Brian in White Marsh. Brian, what say you? I know you want to also weigh in about the mayor.
Yeah, actually, the two topics, Kim, if you don't mind. This subject on the firefighters comes at a very appropriate time. I'm getting ready to go with my son to Frederick County this evening for his orientation to the fire academy. I call him a kid because he's my son, but this is a 23-year-old man who's been in the military since he was 18 years old, strong as an ox, works out every day, has been deployed overseas, was stationed at January 6th 4 years ago, has all the qualifications, and yet he has applied to 5 different county fire departments, and he did not check the right boxes for the past year and a half. He finally got into Frederick. So we're very proud that that's happened. The thing with Karen Bast, I wanted to make a comment on, which was my primary one, is we have an entire State Department filled with ambassadors. I'm sure there's an ambassador to Ghana who's probably already there. Why do we have to have an American mayor on the West Coast fly all the way to Africa on mine and your dollar when we probably already have a diplomat on site?
Yeah, well, you know, she's got to look real black. That's what this is about, Brian. See, so this is why I think even Marilyn Mosby went to Africa during her tenure. It's, you know, it's like, oh, I'm super black. I'm so woke black that I'm now hanging out in Africa. I think that's what it comes down to. Because there's no other reason why she would be in Ghana. What does that have to do with relation to Los Angeles? I kept looking around. Absolutely nothing. And a reporter asked her, by the way, why she went. She had no response to that.
I think what would be interesting as a taxpayer for all of us, I would like to see the expense report for that trip, because I'm sure it was not just her that went. I'm sure she had some assistants or aides that went with her.
Oh, for sure,
you know,
yeah.
You have the flight, you have meals, you have hotels, you have all this pomp and circumstance. I'm sure that flight over to there and back is well into the five figures, meaning tens of thousands of dollars, you know, on basically a wasted trip, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Well, tell your son we said thank you for his service, and we're so happy that he's out there fighting for us.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Yeah, that's interesting that he said that his son has applied at different firehouses. I will say this is not the first time I heard of this. And meanwhile, we're down firefighters in Baltimore City and Baltimore County. It does make you wonder what is going on. Are they really looking to check boxes? Because if that's the case, you know, we got a problem here at home. And the last thing we want is a Los Angeles issue. So thank you, Brian, again, for calling in. We might have to check into that. Let's see. I've got Wally in Stevensville. Wally, you want to weigh in on the fires?
Yes, I do. If you look at, nobody's connecting the dots, but in Hawaii and also in California, there was no water pressure in the fire hydrants. And then, coincidentally, the insurance companies canceled a whole slew of policies in Southern California the month before the fire broke out. And so if people would sit down and connect the dots, there's something else going on here besides just a wildfire that happened to burn up Hawaii and just happened to burn up L.A. Somebody's behind it, and somebody's intentionally doing these things.
Well, you know, Wally, that's not entirely wrong, because there are some people that have already been arrested for starting fires near where some of these fires are burning. So there are arsonists out there. And so you're not the only one having these questions as well. I'm hoping that there's going to be a thorough investigation, but to be honest, I don't have a ton of faith in our investigators, especially on the federal level right now, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, one other thing, Kim, talking about firefighters, I was a commando in the Marines during Vietnam. The last mission, I got a foot blown off, and when it got amputated, I wanted to come back and be a policeman. They said, oh, no, you're missing a foot. So I became a firefighter in Southern California, and they said, you got to go up 8 stories and down with 80 pounds on your back, and we're going to clock you. Well, I was 19 years old, 20 years old, and I said, oh, that'll be a piece of cake. And I did it, and so I served as a fireman for 3 years before I started dental school.
Wow. Well, Wally, thank you for your service. And they don't make men like you anymore. Trust me. I've been looking.
No.
Yeah, Wally, thank you so much. Have a good day. Have a great weekend. Wow. So he served in the military, then became a firefighter with a missing foot, by the way, and then went to dental school? Wally, seriously, do you have any single sons? All right, let's go to the next caller. We are talking about... again, the question of the day, and this is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. The question of the day is, are women physically qualified to be firefighters? But beyond that, we are talking about the Los Angeles fires as well. And I do want you to weigh in on that, because there's clearly signs of incompetence. And it happened on every level, not just the fire chief, not just the mayor, also the governor. And it makes me wonder, you know, what do we have going on in the departments across the country? Because, you know, this... unfortunately, what we're seeing in L.A. and the destruction in L.A., us taxpayers, even here in Maryland, we're going to be footing the bill for this. I mean, let's be honest. I've got David in Waldorf. David, how are you?
I'm doing good, and it's good to hear your voice and talk to you, and thank you for taking the call. And I've got a couple things to say on that. Number one is, if you can get through the physical standards to be a firefighter, I have no problem with seeing ladies in the fire service. I knew one once. Her name was Ava Joy, and she was in Prince George's County. And she was excellent. But then we got the fire chief of Prince George's County who has not a clue what she's doing. So everybody tells me, oh, she's got all this. They looked up yesterday when they were talking about fire chiefs and said all of her qualifications. Well, she might have been titled as a firefighter, but she was not a suppression firefighter. She was riding the ambulance, from what I was told by a lot of other people. But anyway, besides that point, there is a fire department in Florida, South Florida. I don't know which one it was, but I saw a picture on Facebook. And there was a full female crew, driver, officer, and two or three firefighters on that crew. They were all female. They were nice-looking ladies. And if they have the qualifications, they do the job fine. But do you know why I was never hired as a career firefighter in Prince George's County, where you and I grew up?
Why is that?
It was because I'm a white man. They wanted black ladies back in 1980 or so, or 78, 79, 80, or before I gave up trying. But I wanted to be a career firefighter in PG County, and they would not hire me because I wasn't a black female. And at that time, that was what they were saying. They wanted black females. I don't think you should be hired because of your gender or race. You should be hired because you can do the job.
Absolutely.
But that's my opinion.
Absolutely. Wow, David. And you know what? It sounds similar to our caller, Brian. He was talking about his son and how many times, you know, he's applied to be a firefighter in different counties, but he didn't check the boxes. Or, you know, so I do wonder how much this is going on. And I believe you. And I wonder how much this is still going on today.
It's been going on for years. I mean, it's a bad thing. And I mean, I have the utmost respect for people of all races. And everything. I mean, it was amazing that there was one Asian that I knew that wrote fire calls back many years ago. And he never did anything. He would not go in a fire, but he was always there to lay out the hose and to re-rack the hose. And he rode at Oxon Hill, where that crazy fire chief came from.
Okay.
But, you know, that was his choice, I guess. But either way, I mean, the fire service is today in Prince George's County has gone so far downhill that lady is responsible for people getting killed in Brentwood. Everybody said, oh, you can't say that. Well, that's what I heard, that she moved the career people out of Brentwood's firehouse, which is Station 55 now instead of 4, which I don't understand. But anyway, they lost a life up on the north side of PG because of not having any firefighters in the station. And the charter calls for a crew to be in each fire station at from 7 to 3:30 or 7 to 3 or something like that to be there when the volunteers can't be because they got to work. And the county has gone all over their stupid little charter they voted in before you were born, probably. But it was voted in 1970, and ever since then, we've been on a downhill spiral. They're shutting down firehouses. They got Boulevard Heights to where they have no crew in the daytime and no crew at the nighttime hardly, and they hardly get out. Got two brand new fire trucks sitting there.
Wow.
And that's ridiculous the way that some of them are run.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much for filling us in. I appreciate you.
Well, it's good talking to you. You take care.
You too. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much. You know, there's a lot of people weighing in on this, and I appreciate you guys because this is a certain topic, you know, and then even learning more about, you know, possibly people having to check certain boxes when we are currently down on firefighters in general. It's not a good look. Again, the big question is, are women physically cut out to be firefighters? I believe some women are. Me, no. But I do believe other women are, but I want you to weigh in on it. I got Joe in Baltimore. Joe, what do you think? Female firefighters?
Yes, Kim. Good morning.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, Jet had it right. It doesn't matter about whether you're a woman or not. Like the other guy said, painting it with a little bit too broad of a brush. I don't know the guy, Matt Walsh, whatever. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Women who are qualified to do a job are qualified to do that job. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or not. All that matters is if you meet them qualifications. There's a lot of women out here, women soldiers. Women who do hard jobs, work in construction, who could outperform any man. There's lots of men who aren't qualified for the fire department. I'm not sure about Brian's son. He said he didn't check certain boxes. He didn't say which boxes they were. They could have been boxes that he needed to check. It has nothing to do with his race. Like David just said, 1980, They didn't hire him because he was a white male. I'm sorry to hear that, David, but it was probably so many black women who were qualified for that job but were turned down because there were white males who they preferred. So really, all it was is just this is what black women or black people who wanted your job were facing before they made that policy change or they started realizing that, hey, we need black women in here because there's a lot of black women applying for this job and we're telling them no even though they're qualified. That's in actuality what air quotes, DEI is all about. It's not about hiring lower people with lower standards, but filling those positions with people of different genders and colors who meet the standards because they've not been there before. It's putting the people in there who are qualified. It's nothing to do with race.
You agree of removing any boxes altogether? Right. So it should not be where, you know, it's a woman or black or what have you. We should just be looking for just the most qualified.
Jet had it 100% correct. It doesn't matter what you look like, what your race is, how many different types of chromosomes. Do you meet the requirements? That's it. Talking about the wildfires, Kim, I am just kind of frustrated that for the second week in a row at the beginning of the year, I got to do so much work trying to understand what's going on in this country because our president-elect has been sitting here telling these falsehoods and lies about what's going on. I should have to do this much work, Cam. It's really frustrating me.
Wait a minute. What falsehoods and what? I might have missed the first part of that.
Yeah, so he's out here talking about there's no water in the fire hydrants. Because.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what firefighters were saying. That's why they... Go ahead.
It has nothing to do with mismanagement. It's everything to do with the infrastructure where they are. They're not supposed to be fighting those type of fires, and the fact that, you know, you have firefighters in one location, firefighters in another location, using the same lines. That's why they.
But you don't think that's a leadership problem, making sure that they don't have those issues?
That's an infrastructure problem that has been going on for a while. It has nothing to do with the current leadership there. They're not. No one expected. It's like trying to anticipate COVID. No one expected for them to have a crazy wildfire like this with 100-mile-per-hour winds.
But that's part of the leadership duties, though. You got to make sure that you're proactive and make sure that you're ready at all times. See, this is what I think, Joe. You might disagree. We've put government functions aside, and we started really getting into all these other social issues. And I think that's taken up a lot of people's time, and I think it also takes a lot of tax dollars. And I think we should really have government focusing on things like this, being prepared in these situations.
I agree. You should be prepared in these situations, Kim. It has nothing to do with current leadership. That's not Biden. That's not Newsom. That's a structural problem that's been there for a long time.
All right, Joe. If something structurally happens under President Trump's term, and you call in here and you blame Trump, I'm going to bring up this clip right here, all right?
Oh, of course. Great.
All right. All right. Have a great weekend. We'll discuss more when we get back. Imagine losing the ability to hear someone say, I love you, or the ability to hear a compliment. How about just hearing the birds chirp or Kim Klasick live or your favorite song? You're losing your hearing takes its toll on you physically, emotionally, and socially. If this kind of suffering sounds familiar, call Audiology Associates at 410-944-3100. Dr. Melissa Segev and her team take a gentle and empathetic approach for each patient's treatment plan, and they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Now, Audiology Associates is a trusted name in Maryland, and they have been for over 44 years. They have offices throughout the Baltimore metro area. Call 410-944-3100, or you can go online at aaiaudiology.com. When silence is not golden, call Audiology Associates at 410-944-3100.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.real estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.real estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Rapid Radio's our instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscription ever. Perfect for instant contact with an aging parent. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com and you'll get an extra 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
If better health, more energy, and detoxifying your body are some of your priorities this year,
Get Active Liver today. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or newnordicusa.com.
The Morning Drive with Casey and Elliott.
Guess who just bought an $88 million ski resort?
Who?
Zelensky's company just bought a hotel in the Courchevel ski resort for 88 million euros. I have to ask the question.
We send money over to him. That means he doesn't have to spend his own money on the things that we're paying for now, so he can use his own money to buy a ski resort.
I just keep doing this kind of thing because this is why the left lost. They don't know how to read the room.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9 with Casey and Elliott on Talk Radio 680 WCVM.
All right, we are talking about the big question of the day. This is kind of all brought up because Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire, he said on X, formerly known as Twitter, that he doesn't believe that women should be able to be in the fire department. He said the job is too physically demanding, and he doesn't think that that should be a thing. And so our question of the day on WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate, is, are women physically qualified to be firefighters? Now, I did weigh in on my thoughts, and I said, yes, there are women out there that are qualified. Me, personally, I'm not qualified. If something happens and your house is on fire, the last thing you want to do is see my face, okay? Because there's only so much I could do. I can't even pick Olivia up at this time. She's 8 years old, 60 pounds. Can't do it. I even told her, don't even try. She tries it sometimes. She tries, like, oh, carry me, mommy. No, I cannot. You weigh almost as much as mommy. It's not going to happen here. But I did want to get your take on it. I've got Betty in Seabrook. Betty, what say you?
I say no, because I could pass part of that test, but I wouldn't be able to last going up as many flights of steps as the guys do. I could last maybe an hour or two, but they can go all day. No, we don't have the stamina. I have two firemen in my family. One's permanent, and they're both paramedics. My daughter's married to one of them. She works in the office. There you go.
Okay.
Doing all the work that they keep track of all their reports and everything. No, I'm sorry, Kim. Trust me, I am a woman that, as I said, I've always been very physical, but maybe I'd last an hour, but that would be it. And the sad thing is, men have a built-in, gene to help women. If they found one that was having trouble, they would stop what they were doing and help her. We don't need that.
Oh, interesting take there, Betty. Well, thank you so much for weighing in. I hope you have a great weekend.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm 94, so I go back a little ways. I probably could still do half of what some of them are doing, but that's another story. Kim, I appreciate your program. I enjoy it very much. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I know you have options. Thank you. Have a great weekend. You know what? Believe it or not, Betty's not the only one that feels this way. If you go to WCBM.com and take part in the poll, right? Right now, you've got 42% of you say, yes, women are physically qualified to be firefighters. 58% of you say, no, women are not qualified to be firefighters. This is getting interesting. It really is. Let's see. I don't want to just take Diana. Diana from Philly, I hope that you can hang on just a little bit longer because I know I'll have to cut you short, and I want to hear more from you. If anybody else wants to weigh in, they can. They can call 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. We also have text messages coming in. I didn't know this was such a hot topic. Man, are women physically qualified to be firefighters? If you don't want to call in, if you don't have a chance, go to WCBM.com. The poll question is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. I'm actually shocked at the results. 58% so far say no. Women should not be doing the job. This is a great topic. Brian, I'm glad I thought of it. we'll give the credit to Matt Walsh with the Daily Wire. He's the one that started the debate. We'll discuss that. President Trump's sentencing. There's been some movement on that. And then also, I did want to share with you one of the victims that's already been ID'd in the L.A. fire.
Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Friday to you. Seriously, if you're just joining us, I gotta ask you, where the heck have you been? We've had a great conversation thus far, and lots of you weighing in, and I really do appreciate it. You know, Matt Walsh sparked this debate in regards to women and whether or not they're physically capable of being firefighters. And there were a lot of people online that were kind of split on the decision. And as we talk about the Los Angeles fires and the fact that they're still raging over there, which is absolutely ridiculous. But I wanted to ask you that question as well. And it's up on WCBM.com if you can't call in. And it's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Are women physically qualified to be firefighters? And I want to go ahead and give you those numbers on the poll right now. So far, 68% of you say no. 32% of you say yes. This is interesting. This is very interesting. If you want to weigh in, you can via phone line, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. And in just a second here, I'll get to our text messages as well. Diana in Philadelphia, thank you so much for hanging on there, Diana. I guess I'll ask you the question. Can women be firefighters? Are they physically qualified?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I think so. Not all, though. I'm going to say, not all women. It takes a special type of woman to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, let's be honest, you know, you got to, first of all, Kim, I couldn't, they wanted me to try out, but I know I couldn't do it because you got to be able to dress fast. You know, you got to be able to jump into your stuff real quick, and I don't think I could do that, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, I think women can do it. I mean, you have to have that passion, you know, that strength. You got to have what it takes, and you know, and I think you could do it. I'm a retired, well, slightly retired iron worker, okay, 38 years. I did it, you know, built ships, bridges, you know, was in that hole for 38 years out in this cold like right now, okay, or colder, okay, like 10 degrees. And I did it.
Wow.
So
yeah.
It was my passion. You know, it, I got energy from it every day, showed up every day, okay? Miss Betty, bless Miss Betty. But I think we're in a different generation and different time now, okay? We losing men. Who's going to take the place? In World War II, what happened, you know, when the men went to war? We was out there building ships, okay? Rosie the Riveters and everybody, they was out there building ships. So I believe we can do it. But no, not the little, you know, you got to be that person, that tough person that leaves all the cute drama and everything else behind. Get your butt in that uniform and get out there and fight the fire. I believe we could do it. Teamwork, you know, mm-hmm. Yes, you have to lift heavy bodies, but men be out there, they need help too. You know,
yeah.
They're not out there just trying to lift a heavy person. They're going to need help from their teammates and everything. So just like a woman would, you know, I never, in all my years, I never really tried to outdo a man. You know, I just kept on going and I turned back. I ain't see nobody most of the time. But, you know, I didn't go out there and you know, just try to outdo somebody. No, I went out there and I did what I was supposed to do and my part, and you could do it. I think a woman can do it. Okay,
yes.
So that's my take on it. A lot of times, you know, when we're doing a voting or we're thinking about something, we're thinking about it from my perspective. No, I can't do it, but I think it is a woman out there that can. I think there's other women that can do it. You know, I just know my limitations. As far as me getting dressed, I think I can go down a pole. I can do all that, but getting dressed, I think I might be the last one. You know, on the truck, and I wouldn't want to hold nobody up. So anyway, thank you, and I love your show. I love listening to you.
Thank you.
You know, even though you don't really be talking about a lot of our issues, but it's, you know, on a broader scheme of things, I love you, and I hope to meet you one day.
Well, Diana, thank you so much, and thank you. I appreciate you weighing in, especially all the way from Philadelphia. And have a great weekend.
Yeah, because you had my blood boil. That kind of stuff gets my blood boiling.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I can understand.
I had to say something.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. And there you have Diana, who's on the other side of things. See, this is a very split conversation. Not so split online, though. If you took the poll at WCBM.com, we still have it where 68% of you say no, women are not physically qualified to be firefighters. 32% say yes, women are physically qualified to be firefighters. Now, I have to tell you, my take could be different from your take. My take is that women can do it, but as many people pointed out, it's a certain type of woman that can most likely do it. No. If your house is on fire, you don't want me showing up. I'm not helping anybody, okay? I can't physically do it. Barbara in Baltimore. Barbara, what say you?
Well, getting dressed and running down or sliding down a pole has absolutely the least strenuous part of being a fire person, okay? It's not about how fast you can get dressed and how fast you can get down a pole. It's whether or not you, in your full dress, you've got everything on, you've got on an oxygen tank on your back, and you can run into a building that is burning and bring out somebody on your back or two people. Go back and get them. That is the test. It's not about, you know, I look at this whole situation as far as, I mean, hey, I know there's a lot of women out there. You know, you can dress up like men, cut your hair off and all that sort of stuff. I understand that. But men are stronger. They're bigger. They're able to get the job done. It's the same thing about men, whether or not women should be in combat. Should they be behind lines? Are they able to pick the soldier up in that foxhole and carry them on their back with full gear? It's the same thing. And most women do not, and I'm physically fit. I exercise, I lift weights. I am a certified personal trainer, have been for the last 30 freaking years. I would never be a fire person because it takes more than just coming down the pole. That was cute, you know, what your previous call was talking about. All that's good, but that's not going to get the job done. And people's lives depend on your strength and ability and your courage to go in that building and grab people when somebody is bigger than you. Can you pick them up and carry them out? That's the test.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your gender. So women, you know, I hate to say it, stay in your lane. And
well, Barbara, you're not the only one saying that. You're right now. You're in the majority.
It's just like you had, you know, like what you said. If my house was on fire, I wouldn't want you to show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you something. It takes a lot, and there's some things that men just do better, and that's just the way it is. Of course, you have that extraordinary person that has the extra testosterone and. Or whatever it takes, and the courageousness to do it, because it takes courage to do that. It's like combat, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's just like being a police officer. That's a job that requires courage to do it. But no, I don't think women have any place there, and that's just it for me.
All right. Well, Barbara, thank you so much. I hope you have
a great weekend.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. And like I said, Barbara's not in the minority on this. She's in the majority. If you're just joining us, this is a big question. It started out on X. Matt Walsh with The Daily Wire, he posted about the fact that he doesn't believe women are physically qualified to be firefighters. And, of course, that started a huge debate. And if you want to weigh in on this, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. You know, this is it. Look. I would say that it's split online, but it's not. Now we're at 65% of you said no. 35% of you say yes. As you hear from the callers, it's pretty much 50-50. Real quick, I do want to play some more audio for you. This was about the L.A. mayor defunding the firefighters, or the fire department, I should say. Take a listen.
Another issue, another concern about resources and, in particular, staffing as well. And we heard from firefighters, even on the front lines, expressing frustrations about, you know, obviously it's a challenge right now. They're bringing in firefighters from all across the Western region. But can you address the criticism now over the budget issue and the slashing, $17 million?
You know, I think if you go back and look at
the reductions that were made. There were no reductions that were made that would have impacted the situation that we were dealing with over the last couple of days. And then there was a little bit, there was a little bit of confusion because money was allocated to be distributed later on, which was actually going to support salaries and other parts of the fire department that were distributed a little later. So I think it's most important to understand that we were in tough budgetary times. Everybody knew that. But that the impact of our budget really did not impact what we've been going through over the last few days. Again, back to the unprecedented windstorm, wind at such ferocity that we haven't seen in years, is the context in which we were dealing with it. Thank you.
All right, so that's Mayor Karen Bass in Los Angeles. She says she defunded the fire department, but it didn't really affect what you're seeing there in L.A. today. The difference is you had a county employee come forward there in Los Angeles, and she said, yes, it did, because some of that money apparently went towards testing the fire hydrants. So they did not test the fire hydrants since that budget slash. So she's saying, you know, it doesn't really square up what the mayor is saying. Again, I'm going to get back to the phone calls here. Are women physically fit to be firefighters? Because the fire chief in L.A. And even the deputy chief, both women, and it looks as though that they did check a few boxes when it comes to, like, being in the LGBTQ community. But, you know, beyond the point, you know, the big question is, are women physically capable of being firefighters? Me and myself, no. Not at all, right? And like Barb was talking about, if I show up to your house, I might be able to come up and like crack some jokes with you, you know. That's great. But I cannot save you in a fire. I can't. But there are some women I do believe can. So let's see, we got John in Baltimore. John, what say you?
Women are absolutely qualified to be firefighters.
And so you do agree with that. And so what, if you want to elaborate just a little bit.
Well, I'm a physician, and I see firefighters in Baltimore City, in the county, PG County, Frederick, from across the state. Granted, most of the firefighters that I see are men, but I do see some women, and it takes a different type of person to be a firefighter. You run into a fire, not away from it. But the women that I see are absolutely qualified to be firefighters. There's no question about it. The broader question is the physical exams are routinely done on firefighters when they enter the department, but in some jurisdictions, they're not done on a routine or annual basis. Some jurisdictions are better at doing routine exams to make sure their male and female firefighters are fit for duty. And other jurisdictions, once you're in, and they don't follow up on their physical qualifications as they get older in the department. So that's a broader question, but the female firefighters are qualified to be, just because they're women, they're brave and they're strong and they can do the job.
Yeah. Well, John, thank you so much. I think a lot of people do agree with you on that one. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a hot topic. It really is. It really is. I got Vincent in Baltimore. Vincent, can women be firefighters? Are they physically strong enough to do the job?
No, and I'm saying that. I'm a disabled veteran, and I'm going to tell you right now. The reason why is because when you look at the testing and they modify the testing for them to pass or whatever the case may be, that's one thing. But then you're talking about the longevity of it, you know, like the with Barbara, she's always on point, and the lady that called him before her, I think she was 93, and she was saying what they had to do. But the lady that called in and talked about Rosie the Riveter and all that stuff, that was during a time of absolute must that women stepped in, but they didn't stay in the factory when the men came home, not because so much the men needed jobs, because they were glad to get back to the house. They wasn't trying to stay up in those jobs. So that's the one thing. The other thing is that when you're looking at male and female, I'm almost 200 plus pounds, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in a guess mode of whether or not somebody can get me out of that situation. When the men go up and down and do all the things they're doing, it's constant and it's consistent. You know, it's consistent with what they have to do. And the last person, John, he was talking about that some women, yeah, you do see some women, but I guarantee you they not stand until they retire. They not fighting fires for 20 years and retiring like the men. A lot of them are in and out, and then they wind up moving up to chiefs and things like that, where they're not involved in that anymore. Of course we see that. But I'll leave you with this. It's the same stunt with this rope stuff they tried to pull with the military. They found out, no, they had about 80 women, I think, apply for special forces. They watered down the test, and it came down to two and then one. And she went across the finish line, was almost half dead. You can't have a soldier going out there with those things like that and then can't get to their destination, maybe, and when they get there, they not be able to be used according to the mission. So these type of things based in reality are what makes the difference between us, and it shows up biggest day. It shows up that there are differences between men and women. There always will be. And when the woman said there's a special kind of woman out there, well, look, Kimberly, you have access to information. Do the research on what the average uniform, the equipment, weighs, and then do a survey of all the fire departments in the United States. I guarantee you, when you see a lot of women or a few women, they are not doing the same job that the men do, and that's a fact, and it's a problem. So we need to base things in reality, not what we want them to be. We need to look at them what they are, and I doggone sure don't want Kimberly Clayson coming up the ladder, cracking jokes with me, and I'm standing there on fire. I want you to carry me out, Kimberly, on your tiny back, and we're going to be in trouble.
Right. Well, Vincent, thank you so much, and thank you for your service. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have a blessed one.
Thank you. We'll be right back. All right. We're just going to jump right back into it here. Well, what a fun Friday this turned out to be. The big question, are women physically qualified to be firefighters? It all started online. Matt Walsh with the Daily Wire, he said, no, women are not qualified. And then I thought, you know what, let's bring this to WCBM. This is a heck of a question. Many of you, it seems to be almost like a 50-50 split as far as the phone calls. Right now at WCBM.com, it is our question of the day. 62% of you say, no, women are not physically qualified to be firefighters. 38% of you say, yes, women are qualified. I'm going to go back to the phone lines here. I've got Romaine in Baltimore. Romaine, what say you?
Hey, Kim, how you doing?
I say no. Oh, okay.
Because, first of all, we are not physically strength with the muscles that God gave man.
Yeah, and I guess that's also the fight when it comes to
strength that God created man with. We don't have that. And it's hard enough for a man trying to carry a 240-pound person out on his back. So can you imagine a woman? It's not going to work.
Yeah, yeah. You're in the majority right now, Romaine.
Yes, I don't care how strong we may think we are. It's not going to work.
Wow. Well, Romaine, thank you so much for weighing in. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. All right. You know, I'm telling you what, this is quite a split. I didn't think this was going to happen. Joe in Dundalk, do you want to weigh in?
Yeah, Kim. If I see you climbing up the ladder and there's smoke coming out the window, I'd definitely jump in your arms.
Yeah. Joe, we're both flying down the ladder. We're both falling.
Yeah, but what I really wanted to say, I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years. I was in the infantry, and all the equipment and the 25-mile marches and the 3-mile runs and the 44-pound radio, a woman couldn't do it. They would fall out, you know, and in the Marine Corps, if you fall out, people just run over top of you. You know, that's the way it is. But and then after you do that 25-mile march, you got to go into combat with, you know, after you're all exhausted and stuff, you know. And I just can't see it. You know what I mean? And another thing that'll happen is you'll have a bunch of guys trying to help the woman, and they'll mess up the mission. You know what I mean? Because they're not where they're supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we had another caller that said the same thing. Wow, Joe. Well, thank you so much for your service, and I appreciate you weighing in. I hope you have a great weekend.
Okay, and don't forget, climbing up the ladder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I will not forget. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. Yeah, you don't want to see me at your house if there's a fire. There is nothing I can do. I can't do anything about it. Let's see. I do have a texter here. It says, Kim, my sister was a firefighter in Shreveport, Louisiana. And when she went to take her test and her physical, the captain said to her, you might not be equal to them, but you better be eating their dust. She became the first captain woman. Then she went on to become a paramedic. And she did wonderful, and she was so respectful, but she wasn't a person that she would want to meet in a dark alley. She was really tough and solid as a rock, so she definitely pulled her weight and could do anything that those guys could do, but she wasn't a little 100-pound person. Yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing that, Fran. I think it does. It's going to take a certain type of woman. When we get back, we'll probably wrap up this conversation. A couple things I want to talk about, including the breaking news with Trump's sentencing. All that more coming up next. All right, we're wrapping up this conversation here because, of course, I want to also get to your text messages. But this was a big topic. Are women physically qualified to be firefighters? This all started online with Matt Walsh. We can blame him from the Daily Wire. So far, I guess the numbers didn't move too much here online. This poll question is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. 68% say no, women are not physically qualified. 32% say yes, women are physically qualified. I've got Caroline on the line from Baltimore. Caroline, what say you?
Hey, Kim. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. You know, my late husband served in the Marines and ultimately went into the fire department, DOD, at Marine Base Quantico. He retired after 25 years in 2001. And one of the things that, you know, knowing that brotherhood and watching sort of his career progress, as they oftentimes will either be injured or they'll age out, but there's so many things that can happen, and this could be in regard to women in the fire department or police department, because I'm going to loop them both into first responders, that they could be even more qualified and still participate. I know Leo went from being active firefighter to moving into driving fire trucks and, you know, taking positions as he aged out of the everyday jumping into fire situations. And I would say that women who want to be a part of first responders, and bless their hearts if they do, it's hard work, but there's so many other avenues that they could participate. I mean, they could be EMTs, they could be cardiac techs, they could be fire truck drivers, they could be forensic. They could participate in so many other areas that are so vital that just being a part of the first responder team, it's so much more than, you know, guys just jumping down a pole and jumping into a fire building and carrying out 250-pound guys. So do I think women have the physical? Well, maybe. I mean, it would take a very special woman, but I think they would. I think they would age out really quickly. I probably think they would be more prone to injury, but I definitely would encourage women to take a wider view if they want to participate in first responder activities. There's just so much, and I will say too that I know that when Leo was a firefighter, it was grueling. It was grueling. Maybe it was just because it was DOD. I don't know what the qualifications are, like it's Baltimore City, but they had to qualify every single year. It was grueling. You have to be up to it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Caroline, thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You do the same. Be warm and be safe.
Yeah, same to you. Same to you. Thank you so much. Wow, this was a great topic. Really great topic. I appreciate everybody weighing in on this. Some text messages here. I want to get to these. Again, thank you so much for texting into the show. If you haven't already, download the WCBM app. You can text me live in studio. Keith says, Kim, put it to the test. On Monday, have Bruce Elliott lay on the studio floor and see if there is any way that you can pick him up and carry him across the room. Hint, you might not want to wear your heels. I cannot pick up Bruce. I don't think I can pick up anybody that works here, to be honest with you. No. Not that I would even try. See, that's another thing. I'm not one to try. You know, I know I've talked before because my daughter Olivia, she wants to be a police officer. She's never wavered on that. But she's different. She is. She's tough. You know what I mean? She's different from mommy. Yeah, I talk tough, sure. But she's like physically tough. And I've never really seen her scared of anything. And I don't know if she's going to still want to be this 10 years from now. But it definitely is a different, it's even a different mindset. Because you know what? I asked her. I said, well, Olivia, what happens if you get shot? What happens if you get killed as a police officer? And she said it comes with the job. Like, she didn't even flinch. I thought, first of all, why is my 8-year-old scared to die? Like, that's a little, you know, a little nerving. But, you know, but at the same time, I don't know. I don't have that mindset. I'm somebody that I would be sitting there if an address came up on the screen, right? Say they punch in the screen. There's a house fire at such and such, you know, on, you know, Maple Lane. And then I see it's like my ex-boyfriend's house. I'd be like, ah, you guys, yeah, look. Take your time. We don't have to get there. I would be the worst first responder in history. This is so sad, isn't it? It is. All right, I got some more text messages here. Patricia says, Cam, no women are not physically capable to serve as firefighters. How can a woman lift a 300-pound woman? And what about the little ponytail brigade in Secret Service? She was way too short shorter than the president. They are not trained the same either. Bring back gym class as we were when we were in schools. They always just seem to change the names. Oh, yeah, to physical education. So, Patricia, that's a no on your side. See, this is what I'm saying. I think more people said no than yes. My name is Alex, and I'm a paramedic. Some of the best firefighters are female. As long as you're fit and you can do the job. Well, thank you, Alex, so much. And see, there you go, right on the other side. Robert says, hi, Kim. I believe there are certain jobs for women and others not as physically qualified in the fire department. Robert, that's what Caroline was explaining. Robert says, whereas they are working in other support type roles than actual on the front line with the firefighters, drivers, paramedics, technicians, all those things. He goes on to say, why doesn't the NFL draft female as kickers or punters? Of course, that's a rhetorical question. Yeah, because I guess the kickers still get tackled, right? That would be awful. Timothy says, Cam, let's be honest. Everyone wants and deserves an equal opportunity, an equal chance at every job. That doesn't mean that they are less qualified and that less qualified people should get the job over more qualified people. If that was truly the case, we would see women starting in the NFL. A lot of you guys are thinking about football. Is it because of this big game on Saturday? I think it is. Let's see. John says, and this is our friend, firefighter John. He says, good morning, Cam. Lowering the standards just to meet a quota is wrong in any profession, but that's exactly what's been done around the nation. I was denied jobs because I was not the right color or the right sex when departments around the nation were trying to meet quotas to appease organizations like the NAACP. In general, we work as a team, but there are times where you could be alone and need to be able to perform very strenuous jobs, both physically and mentally. As many people have noted, there are men that are not up to standards as well. And again, that was from firefighter John. John, you know, and just like our friend, I guess Brian from White Marsh called in. And let's see, we also had a friend call in from Dundalk. I have heard as where, you know, somebody was not hired because they did not check the right box. And in that box would have to do with gender or color. I have heard of these things. You know what? We're going to have to get somebody, like a fire union chief or somebody in to be, you know, very frank and very honest with us. You know, is this happening and is it going to be happening again in 2025? Because it's just, you know, if we're down firefighters and you're turning people away because you're trying to get a certain quota, I hope that's not the case. Let's see. You've got a couple more text messages coming in here. Let's see. Some of these are on different topics. Dan from Emmitsburg, he says, morning, Kim. My fiance is physical therapist and she can lift some heavy people with just one arm. It takes a certain kind of person to lift people. I can't believe I actually agree with Joe. He was sounding like, he said, we didn't need to meet quotas. We just need to do the best of what we can do. You know, I do believe there are women out there that can get the job done, and I'm not going to waver on that. Now, how comfortable do people feel with a woman showing up? I think that goes back to some of our other callers, including Vincent, right? I don't know if everybody feels comfortable with a woman showing up to help them out of this fire. Now, if she does it, great. But would it make some people nervous? Possibly. Let's see. Chris in Catonsville. Hey, Chris. Chris asked, reductions. The COVID essential trillions and trillions and trillions. Is that all gone? Yeah, apparently we have nobody left, Chris. I don't know why that is. We have nobody left. Let's see. I got a text here from Joe. Says, Kim, just spoke with a lieutenant at a D.C. fire station. His words exactly. Heck yeah, I got some women in here right now that'll put you to work. I hope one of the women firefighters do call in. Yeah, Joe, this is interesting. It really is. Thank you guys all for weighing in on this. I do want to get to some of the other topics before we end the show today. And of course, then you have Rob Carson coming up next, and I'm sure he'll touch on a lot of different topics. But, you know, it's interesting because you don't want to discount somebody and their abilities. And I do believe that if you take the test and you do great on the test physically, I think that you do deserve a shot. And I understand that many of you don't feel the same way. And looking at some of the polling and things like this, it sounds like a lot of you do not agree with me on this one. So I'm glad that we had this conversation. Real quick, I wanted to just go back. I know I told you that they did identify one of the victims in the Los Angeles fires. And one, his name is Victor Shaw. And I've got some audio here that I want you to hear. Because, of course, you know, just like in Louisiana, we want to make sure we honor the victims and discuss just a little bit on how all these things are unfolding. And the fact that I do believe that a lot of this is avoidable and it comes down to incompetent leadership. Take a listen.
Sherry said to him that we've got to go. And she ran out the door and fled herself. But she said that he responded by saying, I'm going to stay behind and try to fight the fire, which he did. But sadly, this morning, when they returned to the property, they found Victor's body. It was lying outside, and he was still holding the garden hose in his hands.
When I went back in and yelled out his name, he didn't reply back, and I had to get out because the embers were so big and flying like a firestorm that I had to save myself. And I looked behind me, and the house was starting to go up in flames, and I had to leave.
We actually did see him laying on the side of the road with the hose. It looks like he was trying to save the home that his parents had had for almost 55 years.
I fell to the ground, and I didn't want to look at him. They just told me that he was lying on the ground, and he looked serene, as if he was at peace.
And we understand, unfortunately, that Victor's body is still there on the family property. The coroner's office has not been able yet to get in there. There's a lot of downed trees, a lot of downed wire.
And that is very sad, as you heard there. Victor Shaw tried to fight the fire at what his parents' home. It did not make it out. And like that's what I said before. I know the death toll right now is at 5. I think it's going to be a heck of a lot higher. As you heard there from the reporter, you know, you've got so many crews that aren't able to get in there. And as people have been mentioning online, try to leave their neighborhood. There's only one way out in these gated communities. And some of them were trying to leave, like going towards the fire, going into the smoke. And a lot of people were just saying that it was, you know, for some, it's going to be basically impossible. So, of course, we're going to continue talking about this, I'm sure, on Monday. And I hope that Mayor Karen Bass at some point in time puts together a real message to the people. Because right now, what she's been saying is just unacceptable. Truly is. Real quick, I just want to let you know, Leo Terrell was at Fox News. He's formerly now at Fox News. He has decided to take a job heading the DOJ for President Trump and his administration. So in case you missed that little nugget, I just wanted to tell you about that. Leo Terrell, very famous on Fox News, usually on with Sean Hannity. And so he's going to be helping out at the DOJ with President Trump. Also, speaking of President Trump, a lot of people were talking about the video I posted yesterday, along with many others. President Trump, Barack Obama, they were at Jimmy Carter's funeral, and they were just giggling like schoolgirls the entire time. They were having a great time. And yet, President Trump got some really harsh glares from Kamala and others. But you know what? President Barack Obama was like, look, this guy's funny. He's sitting right next to me. I guess I'm going to enjoy my time here. Now, Michelle Obama was not there. I wonder if it would have been the same reaction if she was sitting there. Because you know how guys are. If their wife is sitting there and they give them the look, I think usually guys are like, oh, yeah, I can't talk to you right now. It's a call me, text me later. I can't. No, not right now. Not right now. Guys know better. Guys know better. All right. Also, when it comes to President Trump, I know we've been talking a lot about the Los Angeles fires, so we didn't really get to get into this. But Trump sentencing, it did occur, by the way, as we were sitting here. The judge gives Trump unconditional discharge to respect the presidency. Again, this is for the hush money payment that allegedly went to Stormy Daniels. So he could go to the White House free and clear. And, of course, there's people excited about that. But there were a lot of people asking, why did he even go? Why go through the circus of this to begin with? And so if you want to take a look, of course, ABC News, everybody has a story. It says President-elect Donald Trump was sentenced Friday in this historic hush money case to an unconditional discharge, allowing Trump to avoid prison, fines, or probation, but cementing his status as a convicted felon just 10 days before he takes the oath of office in his second term. If you know President Trump, like, you know, we've been seeing over the last few years, I don't think he cares if he's a convicted felon. I think he's probably going to use that title to his advantage. He's probably going to make a lot of money on it because that's just Trump. And there's going to be a lot of people trying to make money on it as well. During a brief virtual hearing, we talked about that he was probably going to be there virtually, and New York prosecutors blasted him for engaging in a direct attack on the rule of law and making efforts to undermine its legitimacy by attacking the judge and others involved in the case. Oh, gosh. So there's lots of grandstanding on this virtual call. Trump's defense team, which vowed to appeal, said that the case should have never been brought and called it a sad day for this country. I agree with that. That is a sad day for this country. This is even Stephen A. Smith. There were like super liberals. They call them super liberals. Even they were saying, why are we wasting our time with this? Is it just a news story? Is this for ratings? Because that's what it looks like. Judge Juan Merchan, who was a frequent target of Trump during the trial, said the unconditional discharge was the only lawful sentence to protect the office of the president, not the occupant of the office. So that's where that stands. As many of you have probably guessed, President Trump is not going to jail. He is not going to be on probation. I don't know. The whole thing was just nonsense. It really was. But I'm glad that it's over. Also, we get back. I do want to tell you about these self-driving cars because I am afraid of them. And you might not be, but I just want you to hear what happened recently. We get back.
Hi, it's Sean Casey. You've been hearing me talk about Rescue Supplements for years. Well, Rescue Natural Supplements has launched a free personalized health survey that prioritizes all of your health goals, whether you've been taking Rescue products for years or don't know where to start. In just 5 minutes, discover tailored Rescue supplements that fill the gaps in your nutritional needs. That means no more guessing on the products at the store or ignoring the issues altogether. And the best part? Right now, you get a whopping 50% off recommended products after completing the survey. To get started, go to res-q.life. Again, that's res-q.life. Or call 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483 to get help from a knowledgeable Rescue product consultant. I took the short survey, and let me tell you, I was blown away to see my results. So don't wait. Visit res-q.life and get 50% off recommended products today from Rescue.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
The Rob Carson Show.
Aren't you glad that America's back? Aren't you glad that you're going to be able to listen to the national anthem and watch those stealth fighters fly over the stadium and weep with pride? Aren't you glad? If you're not down with this, get the hell out of the way. And if you voted for Kamala Harris, and if you've been down with all of this nonsense in the last 4 years, go to your room, think about what you've done, and shut the hell up until Dad gets home on January the 20th.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, you know what that means. It's Friday. Kim Klasick Live. I appreciate you guys tuning in 9 a.m. to 12 noon every weekday. I did want to tell you about these self-driving cars because one of them went wild. A Waymo car could not stop. A guy inside, he was trying to talk to customer service. I wanted you to just hear the interaction. Take a listen.
Can't get out the car. Has this been hacked? What's going on? I feel like I'm in the movies. I'm in a Waymo
connected
car.
To rider support. This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
This car is just going in circles.
Hi there, Mike. This is Gab. I'm calling from Waymo support. I'm just calling because I received a notification that your car might be experiencing some routing issue. Please bear with me while I am...
Yeah, I got a flight to catch. Why is this thing going in a circle? I'm getting dizzy. Look at what it's doing.
I understand. I'm really, really sorry, Mike. We're currently working with the situation of the vehicle. Is it circling around a parking lot, right?
It's circling around a parking lot.
If you have your app pulled up, I need you to tap My Trip in the lower left corner of your app.
Can't you just do it? You should be able to handle it. Take over the car. You don't need my phone.
I don't have an option to control the car.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm really so sorry about this.
Well, can you stop this car?
I am trying to pull it over right now. Apologies.
I can't get out the car. Has this been hacked? What's going on? I feel like I'm in the movies. I'm in a Waymo car.
Connected to rider support. This call may be recorded for quality.
All right. And that was a guy in a Waymo car. And it's so crazy because he was going around circles in a parking lot. And according to him, he was trying to catch a flight. So he really wanted to get out. But I thought it was interesting because the customer service rep, I guess she was trying to get him to pull up the app. And that would somehow, he would be able to go in and stop the car that way. I think that's just scary. I don't know. For me, I can't get in a car where there's nobody driving it. That's just me. Maybe I'm old school. I need to see somebody there. their hands need to be on the wheel at 10 and 2, and that's how you're driving me around. But I know that there are a lot of people that are now opting for this. I think, you know, there's some pros and cons here, obviously, with these EVs and the fact that they're having these self-driving cars. Some people talked about how this is a great way to, you know, finally catch carjackers or those that are trying to steal your car, because if you could shut everything down. But one of the other cons is, what if you're like in a dead zone and something like this happens and you don't have Wi-Fi and you don't have any internet connection? There is no Starlink. Look, I've been in the mountains in certain areas of Pennsylvania where like my GPS goes off because there's no service and I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just trying to trust that, the end of the farm takes me back to a main road. I don't know. I just think it's a little scary. Sounds like they still have some issues. I would hate to see any of those cars actually being hacked. That's also an issue. Well, I'm sure this is not the last time we're going to talk about a self-driving car going wild. But I just wanted to bring that to you because I thought that was very interesting. Also, don't forget, if you haven't already, go to the website, WCBM.com. Make sure you get your tickets to the Steak of the Union dinner with myself, Bruce Elliott, and Sean Casey. It is happening January 29th. The tickets are actually going pretty fast. So if you haven't already, go ahead and grab your ticket. It's at WCBM.com. We're going to talk politics, have dinner, and we're going to have a ton of fun. Again, it's the Steak of the Union dinner with myself, Sean Casey, and Bruce Elliott. You're not going to want to miss that. And real quick, some notes here. On Monday, we'll be joined by freshman Congressman John McGuire. He beat Bob Good in Virginia's District 5, former Navy SEAL, and he's really making a lot of friends on the Hill. I saw that he was hanging out with Tim Burchett out of Knoxville, Tennessee, also Eli out of our Arizona. And, of course, I think him being a Navy SEAL, obviously he's hanging out with Corey Mills and all those guys that are hardcore military. So we'll speak to John McGuire on Monday. Again, he's in Virginia's District 5. And I had I was able to meet him when I was in Virginia campaigning for a couple different elected officials, including John. So it'll be great to talk to him and hear how his first couple days on the Hill have been. I'll talk to all of you guys on Monday. Brian, as always, thank you for a great show, and I hope everybody has a safe and warm weekend.